reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, February 18th, 2025. We're picking up where we left off last Wednesday. This is part 5 of a series, Seeking God for a Breakthrough. Last Wednesday, today, and tomorrow's topic is, Why Must I Keep on Praying Persistently? Oh, you're in for a real blessing, and so please be attentive as Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church will help us understand the importance of praying persistently. Here's Pastor Rick Warren on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Psalm 105, verse 4, look to the Lord for his strength. Seek his face how often? Yeah, constantly. Circle that. So it keeps my attention focused on God. God wants you to keep asking because it keeps your attention focused on him. Question, do you talk to God more when you need something? Of course you do. If you never needed anything, would you talk to God as often? No. When do you talk to God the most? When you're in deep pain. So it keeps me focused on God continually. There's a second reason, and it's because having to wait teaches me about myself. Having to wait teaches me about myself. You're going to learn some things while you're praying for an answer that you won't learn any other way. This is going to be a mind-opening message for some of you, because you learn not just about God, you learn about yourself when you don't get everything you want instantly. When you pray and God says, well, let's just see about how long it's going to take before that prayer gets answered. Some prayers are answered immediately, but some take times, weeks, months. Two of the most important prayers I've ever prayed, one of them took 13 years, and one of them took almost 25 years, but God answered it. And they were the most important prayers in my life at that time. Why did it take so long? Because while I was working on the prayer, God was working on me. And there are a number of tests that happen when you pray about something over and over and over that reveal more about you. Notice this verse. Zechariah says in Zechariah 13, verse 9, God says, I will test and purify them, that's you and me. I'll test and purify them as silver is purified by fire. Ever wonder when you're going through the fire, why you're going through it? It's for testing and for purification. I will test them as gold is tested. How do you test gold? You put it in a big vat, and you heat it up until it gets so hot that all the impurities are burned off. And how do you know when gold and silver is pure? Because a silversmith can see his reflection in it. And God can see his reflection in you when all the impurities have burned out of your life. You've been through the fire. He says, then, after I've tested them, after I've purified them, then they will pray to me, and I will answer. Notice that the prayer's answer comes after the test. Does that sound vaguely familiar? We spent 10 weeks on Daniel, looking at 10 tests of Daniel. And I said, before every blessing, there is a testing. And God tests you with stress before he trusts you with success. That principle of Daniel's life is one of the principles of persistent prayer. God is going to test you before he blesses you. And he says, I'm going to test you. And in this test, you're going to learn a lot about yourself. If you give up praying, you're never going to learn these lessons. You say, well, what do I learn? What do I specifically learn about myself when I have to pray specifically and persistently? Well, let me just mention four areas. There are four areas that God wants me to grow, wants you to grow. Write these down. The first would be this. Praying persistently tests my desires. Praying persistently tests my desires. And what that means is I ask the question, what do I really want? When you start praying, and many of you are praying for a breakthrough, you're going to find that actually your prayer changes. It evolves, it grows, it develops, because you're going to see, well, that's not really what I want. What I really want is this or that. And praying persistently tests my desires, what I really want. Now, everybody has desires. The reason you have desires is because God put them in you. Now, a desire can be misused, it can be abused, it can be perverted. The desire for a sexual relationship, that's a normal human desire. Can it be abused, perverted, misused? Of course it can. All of God's gifts are good, but they can be misused. Fire is good in the fireplace, but fire in the wrong place will burn a house down. Water is good in a bathtub, but water in a flood, too much of it can drown you. Any of God's gifts can be perverted, misused, and abused by Satan. The reason why God has certain parameters for sex is not because it's dirty. It's not. It's holy. In fact, sex is more important than you think. It's also less important than you think. I'll do a whole message on that some other time. But here's the point. I just piqued your interest on that one. There are good desires in your life, and there are bad desires in your life. There are appropriate desires in your life, and there are inappropriate desires in your life. There are helpful desires in your life, and there are harmful desires in your life. There are righteous desires in your life. There are unrighteous desires in your life. There are constructive desires in your life, and there are destructive desires. When you pray persistently, those start to filter out, and you begin to realize this is a good desire or this is not a good desire. Persistent praying shows the difference between a whim and a deep desire. If you ask God for something and you only ask about it one time, that's not a deep desire. It's just a whim. And God is not in the business of fulfilling every whim you've got. God is in the business, as your Heavenly Father, of taking care of your deepest desires. God doesn't give you every little whim. You might watch something on a shopping channel, go, oh, I really like that, and 3 minutes later, you've already forgotten it. It's a whim. If you're not willing to pray about something more than once, it's not a deep desire, it's just a whim. And God doesn't promise to meet all your whims. When it's Christmas time. When my kids were little and they used to come to me, I'd take them on, to the mall, and we'd go through stores, and they'd say 100 things that they wanted. I like that, Daddy. I like that, Daddy. All that. Can I get this, Dad? How about that, Daddy? 100 different things. And I know most of them are just whims. But when they go, Daddy, I really, 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 Daddy, I really, really, really want this. Now I know we're not talking about a whim. We're talking about a deep desire. But they had to say 18 reallys to convince me. And sometimes when you've got a prayer, God goes, you just asking for that, and you, or do you want to get married? You want a husband? You want a wife? How serious are you willing to pray about it every day? Are you willing? Would you like a job? Would you, whatever you want to, are you willing to pray about it 3 times a day, like we're doing right now, and bring it before God? It kind of sifts out. Nah, that's not that important to me. So the first thing that praying persistently does is it tests my desires. By the way, have you ever wondered where your deepest desires come from? They come from God. They come from God. They're part of your God-given shape. There's some things that attract your interest, some things you couldn't care less about. Some things really turn you on, some things bore you to tears. Some things really wind your crank, some things just give a big yawn. And all of us have different desires, different needs, different interests. That's part of your God-given shape. They came from God. And God put that desire in you, and then he wants you to ask, and then he wants to provide for it. That builds the relationship. That builds the connection. When you have a need, and then you recognize that need, and then you verbalize that need to God, and then God meets that need, what's the end result of that? You trust God more. And every time you get an answer to prayer, you trust God more. That's why God wants you to pray. That's why God wants you to ask and keep on asking. But he says, I want first to know what you really want in your heart. Praying tests my desires. Did you know that God wants to give you your deepest desires? He does. He just wants to make sure that he's in the first place, that he's your first desire, and then everything else is second. There is almost nothing that God won't do for the woman or the man who puts God first in every area of their life. Almost nothing. Look at this next verse. It's an amazing verse. Psalm 37, verse 4, great promise. Take delight in the Lord, that's a desire thing, and he will give you, read it with me, the desires of your heart. Holy moly. You need to write that one on a card and put it on your visor or on your refrigerator or on your mirror in your bathroom. Delight yourself in the Lord, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God is not stingy. He's waiting on you. Delight yourself in the Lord. Pay attention to God. And when I pay attention to God, it tests my desires. What do I really want? Here's the second thing it tests. Number two, Praying persistently tests my priorities. It tests my priorities. And when I have to pray for something more than once, it's not like I'm convincing God to do it. He already is waiting to give it. He just wants to know what's really important to me. That's the question. What's most important in my life? And so when you pray about something, it tends to clarify what's important to you. If you don't pray about it, it's obviously not important. If you do pray about it, it obviously is important. Now, if it's not worth praying about repeatedly, then it isn't a priority. By the way, do you know how to know what's important to you? What's really important to you? You want to say, I don't even know what's important to me. I'll tell you what. You know what's important to you? What you worry about most. Worry tells you what's important in your life. If you worry about it, it's important. If you don't worry about it, it's not that important to you because you've given it up to God, you've trusted Him for it, or it's not even that important to you. Worry tells you what's important to you. But every time you worry, you're acting like an atheist. Worry is practical atheism. I've said that many times. It's acting like you don't have a Heavenly Father who has promised multiple times in this book, I will take care of every one of your needs. When you worry, you're acting like, I don't have a God, and I don't have a God who loves me, and I don't have a God who's promised to take care of all my needs, so if it's to be, it's up to me. I've got to take care of it myself. I've got to worry about it. Worry is an ineffective way of trying to control. Worrying about the past won't change the past. Worrying about the future won't change the future. Worry just messes up today. It's stewing without doing. It's a waste of time. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. And if you prayed about everything you worried about, you'd have a lot less to worry about. Worry all you want, and it won't change anything. Pray about all you want. That will change everything. So every time you start to worry, you should stop and turn the worry into a prayer. Does that make sense? Every time you start to worry about anything, you stop and you turn that worry into a prayer. Worry without just worrying is, as I said, acting like you're an unbeliever. In fact, Jesus gets right to the point in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 32 and 33. He says, Why be like unbelievers who worry about everything? Because they don't have any God, any Heavenly Father who loves them, will take care of them. Why worry? Why be like an unbeliever who worry about everything? Your Heavenly Father already knows, already knows all your needs. You're not convincing God. You're not even notifying God when you have a need in prayer. Your Father, Heavenly Father, already knows your needs. And He'll give you all you need if your first concern is to live for His kingdom. First concern, what is that? That's called a priority. Praying persistently tests my priorities. Now, when your priorities are right, listen, when your priorities are right, God's answer is yes. It's yes. And when my priorities are not right, God might have another answer. And there are multiple ones He can have for that. I'll share them with you in a minute. But when your priorities are right, God says, He already knows your concern. He'll give you all you need if your first concern is to live for His kingdom. So really, you say, well, I'm waiting on God to answer this prayer. Are you waiting on God or is God waiting on you? Maybe He wants to test His desire. And maybe He wants to test your priorities. What's really important to me? Look at this next verse, Psalm 84, verse 11. This is an amazing promise. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. Wow. God says, you know what? Your priorities are right. You're living for me. Your attention is with me. You're staying connected with me. My kingdom is your number one priority. Guess what? Anything you ask. No good thing will I withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's why I said earlier, there is nothing, almost nothing, God will not give the man who's totally committed to Jesus Christ. There's almost nothing God will not give to the woman who's totally committed to Jesus Christ. He says, no good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. So that leads me to ask the question, what's out of order in my life? Are your priorities out of whack right now? Is right now your job taken number one? Is right now, television taken number one? Are your priorities out of order? Are you spending more time on social media than in the Word of God? That's called out of order priority. He says, no good thing will God withhold from those who do what is right. Here's the third test that happens. What it shows me about myself. Persistent praying tests my maturity. This is a big one. When God doesn't give something to you immediately, he is testing your maturity. He's testing your character. He's testing your responsibility. He's testing whether you've grown up or not. It's a gut check. God is, and I told you last week, God is not a vending machine. He's not a genie. You just pop in the prayer like a coin and you instantly get it. He wants to reveal your character. He wants you to show you the areas where you need to grow. Persistent praying. When I ask for something over and over and over, it actually shows my maturity rather than my immaturity. So what do you mean by that? If you tell a toddler you can have it in a little while, do they get that? No. If you tell a toddler, not yet, okay, in a little while, if you tell a toddler you can have it later, they typically will throw a temper tantrum. Why? That's called immaturity. Why? Toddlers don't know how to wait. Immature humans don't know how to wait. Immature humans want it now, and I want it yesterday, and I want it even though I can't afford it, and I'll put it on a credit card, and I'll buy things I don't need with money I don't have, and then I'll be in debt, and I'll be in debt for a long, long time. Why? The number one cause of most of your problems in life is the inability to delay gratification. You don't know how to wait. We're in a society that says, I got to have it, and I got to have it now. Even if I can't afford it, I'll put it on credit, etc., etc. Praying persistently tests my maturity. Why? Because toddlers don't know how to wait. They don't know the difference between no and not yet. Do you? When God doesn't give you a prayer instantly, do you just grab your blanket and your ball and go to the corner? I'm going to go pout because God hasn't given me. I've been praying for that for weeks or months or maybe even years. Don't you think your Heavenly Father knows what you need more than you do? Knows when you need it, knows why you need it, knows the best way to need it, is working behind the scenes. While you're whining, God has been working. And while you're waiting, God is working on the answer. Sometimes he has to get certain things into place. I prayed for 13 years for land for this church. And in about 12 of those years, the piece of land that we sit on the Lake Forest campus wasn't even around, wasn't even available, wasn't even charted. There was no Rancho Santa Margarita City. There was no Foothill Ranch City. There was no Lake Forest in this area. The roads weren't even in. It was just cow pasture. It wasn't even available. But before God even put in my mind to come and start Saddleback, he already knew where the first campus would be. It was just a matter of time. The dominoes were falling over. And so patience is a mark of maturity. And when it comes to prayer, if God doesn't give it to you immediately, do you just give up and say, well, I'm not going to pray about that anymore because he didn't give it to me in a month or a year or whatever. I'm going to just give up on it. Maturity means you know the difference between a delay and a denial. A delay is not a denial. Now, a baby doesn't understand that. No and not yet mean the same thing. But when you grow up, maturity means I learn the difference between a delay and a denial. God hasn't said no to your request. But it's going to come in his timing. Now, let me just say this. God wants to meet your deepest needs, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial, relational, all your deepest needs. And he's promised to meet those needs. But he's far more interested in your character development. You've heard me say many times, God's more interested in your character than your comfort. Because you're not taken all your clothes and china and cash to heaven. You are taking your character. In heaven, there will be no problems. This is the get ready stage. You shouldn't expect things to be perfect on this earth. Everything is broken on this planet. God wants to meet your needs, but he's more interested in growing you to become more like Christ. And one of the characteristics of Christ is patience. The Bible says patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And how do you learn patience? Waiting. Department of Motor Vehicles. Sitting in a traffic jam, waiting in a doctor's office, in the waiting rooms of life. And you also learn patience by praying persistently, even when you don't see any results. God is testing your character. He's testing your heart. He's testing your maturity. He's testing your patience and all these different things. Those of you who are moms, do you remember how you felt the first time you let your first child cry themselves to sleep? I'm such a bad mom right now. And you could hear that baby in the other room crying, and Previously, every time they cried, you were there instantly. You're there instantly. And eventually you learn you can't be there instantly every time they cry. And the first time you as a mother or as a parent, as a dad, and you let that baby cry itself to sleep. Question, was that important to that baby's development? Hello? If you think somebody's going to come wipe your nose every time you have a problem in life, you're going to be severely disappointed with life. Everybody owes me everything because I'm the center of attention. It's all about me. No, of course. Let me ask you another question. Those are your parents.
Well, that question to parents and various other remarks and information about why we must keep on praying persistently will be answered tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. You've been hearing a portion of a one-hour message as preached by Pastor Rick Warren. We began last Wednesday, and it'll be completed tomorrow, part of his series, Seeking God for a Breakthrough. This is part 5, and it's titled, Why Must I Keep on Praying Persistently? We learned it's important to keep our attention focused on God, that having to wait oftentimes teaches us about ourselves and our prayer life. It tests our desires, it tests our priorities, it tests our maturity, and it tests our faith. We learn to be patient. Tomorrow, as we look at Galatians 6:9, which says, Let us not get tired of doing what is right, for at the right time we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. Galatians 6:9. We'll also learn 4 ways God answers prayer, and I really like this one. When our request is not right, God says no. When I am not right, God says grow. When the timing is not right, God says slow. But when my requests and the timing and my characters are all lined up right, God says go. I hope you can tune in tomorrow. And if you missed a portion of this broadcast or can't tune in tomorrow, you can find this in the host series on Seeking God for a Breakthrough at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.